Hey, everybody, welcome to the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. We'll be here with a new episode for you right after this quick note.
The tournament is here. BetOnline is your bracket headquarters for this season. With the best bracket contest out there and odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up to the national championship, you have access to the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or your mobile device, and even track your bracket in real time all the way through the tournament. Head to BetOnline today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. Hey everybody, James Williams here of the Southern California News Group. I'm excited to welcome you guys back to another episode of the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. And I have a very special guest with me today to talk about the NFL Draft. Trevor Sikkema joins the show today. Trevor, how you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic, James. Appreciate you having me on. I'm excited to talk some UCLA guys here with you.
No worries. Yeah, it's an exciting time. I was out at the Pro Day for UCLA. A little bit of a limited view, but that's how it goes with the media sometimes. But let's just jump right into the big guy on top for UCLA and who seems to be making a name for himself there in the first round. Liatu Latu looked a little bit heavier from when I'm used to seeing him at Pro Day. But I know, I saw at the Senior Bowl, there was a clip from you at the Senior Bowl, I think, chatting with him a little bit.
Yes.
So you've been up close and personal with him a few times as well, if I'm not mistaken. Just give me a little bit of Latu and just kind of your first impressions upon seeing him in person.
I like him a lot, man. I mean, over the last 2 years, no pass rusher in college football has been better in our system. I mean, he has a ridiculous pass rush win percentage over 23%, which is like, mm-hmm, Nick Bosa, Myles Garrett, TJ Watt levels, wow, of efficiency when you talk about comparing that to NFL guys. Now, I'm not saying he's exactly those guys, but right, that's the type of dominance that we are talking about, what he has done over the last couple of years. And this is a 2 year sample size. He's got the highest, mm-hmm, pass rush grade of any player in college football over the last 2 years as well. And his tape is just such a joy to watch. I fell in love with him over the summer when we were getting into summer scouting, and I really didn't know anything about him, learned about his story, right, how he came from Washington, the neck injury, being back at UCLA, getting back on the field, all that good stuff. And then getting to chat with him at the Senior Bowl was fun. Mm-hmm. Now, I wish he was out there playing that final day. The reason, yeah, I actually got to chat with him is because he nicked his leg a little bit and he was like, no, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, I didn't really want to push it, which is, I mean, that totally makes sense. But right, I kind of went up to him and just kind of introduced myself, told him I worked for Pro Football Focus, told him I was a big fan of his. I've had him top 20 and at least in my top three edge rushers, wire to wire from summer up until this, yep, point. I got an edge three now, but I still have him as a top 20 player in the class. And so just talking with him, okay, a little bit, you know, I tried to get some insight on that neck injury, and it was like, man, what happened with all of that? And he's like, you know, it was kind of crazy. Like, I was at Washington, you know, I obviously like took a hit that, you know, didn't really feel right. They kind of checked me out and they were like, all right, we're going to medically retire you. And he was, and it was like a very quick bang, bang thing. And he was just like, whoa, hold on. What do you mean? And they're like, nah, we already got a press conference set up for it. We're not going to risk your long-term health. And he's like, that's crazy. So obviously what happens at Washington, but he said throughout the whole time, he never thought his career was over. You know, he was always seeking, you know, different opinions. And I mean, the doctor that works with UCLA was the person who did his neck surgery. And so UCLA had a really good, mm-hmm, feel for that surgeon and obviously him coming on board and getting to play for that organization and them clearing him to play and all that good stuff. And so it was just great to hear all that. I asked him about the pass rush moves, how he became such a pass rush savant. And he talked about, you know, watching a lot of different pros and, you know, taking that time away from the field and really just dedicating it to getting better, watching film, all that. And you just see that now on tape. So he is, I mean, man, he's one of my favorite players in this class. I wish he was a little bit better of an athlete, I'd have him like top 10, top five, yeah, man, because I think his tape is phenomenal. Right. But it is overall an athlete's game at the NFL level. So I, mm-hmm, have a little bit of concerns there, but he's a fantastic player, man. I think that he's going to be great as a pro.
And just going back to the medical real quick, one thing that comes to mind for me because I covered him in high school was Jalen Phillips. Yeah. And he was at UCLA. I started covering UCLA. I think we may have just missed each other at UCLA, or I was there for his last year. I can't remember. Actually, I was there after. He was someone who medically retired, and I was like, wait,
what's going on? You know, he took a year off and then all of a sudden he's there with Miami. So it was just kind of interesting how, you know, UCLA wasn't afraid to medically retire somebody either, but then let alone at the same time while Chip Kelly was there to bring someone in. Mm-hmm. And you know, the expectation on Liatu Latu there, I didn't really have an expectation. I didn't know who he was until he came to UCLA and he was not ever listed in the starting lineup. And he just, and like, why aren't we putting this dude in the starting lineup? Like, it just became this thing. He just continued to stand out. And obviously just the year that he had this year as well. Someone who caught my eye. Who are the other two guys that you have ahead of him at that position? And how do they compare to Latu?
Yeah, so the two guys that I have ahead of him, Jared Verse from Florida State is the one. And when I look at Verse, I mean, not as productive as a pass rusher as Latu was. I mean, nobody was. But Verse, I'm never going to be worried about the type of power profile that he has stacking up at the NFL level. And it's such a strong athletic game at that highest level in the NFL. And even though Verse is, like I said, maybe not as good with his hands, not as flexible, doesn't have as good of a finesse game. I mean, his power game is just something that I'm never going to worry about. And so anytime that's the case with somebody, I'm going to rank them pretty high because I think they've got a high floor. And I think Verse has a very high ceiling as well. I feel as though he would have been a top 10 pick in last year's draft. I mean, I look at that number 8 spot where, or maybe it was the number 6 spot, I think, where Tyree Wilson went off the board, wherever it was, to the Las Vegas Raiders. I think that's where Verse would have gone if he would have come out last year. And this year, he'll be right around the top 10, top 15, something like that, still within that range. It's just a stronger class this year versus last year. So he might get bumped down a little bit, but that's the type of prospect that we're talking there. Then the other guy I have ahead of Latu is Dallas Turner, the outside linebacker, edge rusher from Alabama. You know, Turner is somebody who he's only about a little over 6'3". But they measure his wingspan and his arm length at the combine, and he's got the wingspan of somebody who's like 6'9", 6'10". And you see that on his film, man. He wins with length so easily and often. He loves to build his pass rush arsenal around that long arm and then really just use speed to power off of that. You can have some counters, some spin moves. You can throw a ghost move in there because they're already really expecting that long arm to go straight in their chest. And so when I look at Dallas Turner, you have all of the measurables there, but then you also have the combine testing. Incredibly explosive athlete. Really nice bend and flexibility. So he kind of feels like that total package. I'm still kind of waiting for all of the lights to come on for him at the same time to put everything together. But yeah, there's just so much potential in him. And you really don't worry about anything from a physical perspective with Turner. So those are the two guys that I have with Latu. But I'll tell you this, man, I think it is a big three. I really do. Yeah. I think there's going to be a lot of teams who have Latu is edge 1 or edge 2 or edge 3. And I think the same thing with each of those guys because they got pros and cons. So if you're making a bucket or a tiers list, those three dudes are in tier 1. They are in that same tier.
And I'm sure like many others, I always try to read into different things. You see different things. You see someone at the combine. You see someone at the pro days, right? So I know, I think it was at the Senior Bowl. I think Latu's like, oh, yeah, I talked to Max Crosby. That's like someone I kind of model my game after, et cetera, et cetera. And then all of a sudden, you know, Antonio Pierce is hanging out here at the pro day for UCLA. Are the Raiders, where are we at with the Raiders, and just where does Latu fall on your mock draft?
I mean, I don't know if he'd go to the Raiders, right? The Raiders are at 13. So it feels like that's certainly Latu range for me. I feel like anywhere from, you know, pick 11 to pick, you know, 20, I feel like, is the range for Latu. Well, it could be a little bit later than that. He's just so talented. It'd be a shame if he falls a little bit more than that. But yeah, I mean, the Raiders are kind of right there in that spot. The thing is that they drafted Tyree last year really high. They already have Max Crosby. They spent all the money on Christian Wilkins. So it's like, all right, if you take another defensive lineman in the first round, your fans might think this is a little bit overkill. So not that he wouldn't be a good player. They would just have to be they'd have to be pretty low on Tyree's development to draft Latu at number 13 in the first round.
Gotcha. And obviously things can change from day to day, even when it comes to a mock draft. But where do you have Latu kind of slotted at right now in terms of what team may be the best fit for him?
Yeah, I think that there's a handful of teams that could really use him. I think that the New Orleans Saints are one of them. Although, you know, like them bringing in Chase Young, I wonder if they feel like they're set there at that area. But man, I think that Latu would be fantastic as a fit there. I think the Rams at 19, another team that I think just has to get better on the defensive line, certainly with Aaron Donald's departure, interior defensive line also is going to be high on their board, but they could use a top tier edge rusher, no doubt about it. Dallas a little bit, but not nearly as much. And then you get a little bit further and it's like, okay, the Arizona Cardinals at 27, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 26, the Detroit Lions at 29. Like, there's not a chance in hell this guy gets out of the first round because of all those teams that are at the end of the first round. But he feels more talented than that to be a back end of the first round pick. The only thing that would really hold him back is maybe people didn't love the combine numbers that he put up, which I thought that they were fine. Honestly, some people were telling me that they were even going to be lower numbers than they were. So him at least having the baseline that he did when he showed up to Indianapolis, I was like, great, that's fine. It's fine. As long as he didn't show up and was a terrible athlete, that's fine with me. But he's just too talented, man. I would love to see him go somewhere between picks 15 or 14, actually, with the Saints and 25. It feels like that's the spot. And I'm going to be honest, man, if he's on the board and the Buccaneers are picking at 26, I just have a hard time thinking that they're going to pass him up. So maybe that true sweet spot, that top to bottom, is the Saints at 14, the Buccaneers at 26, and somewhere in between.
I'll tell you, obviously, there's a lot of UCLA fans that are also Rams fans. So when you say the Rams, you made a lot of them pretty excited there. And obviously, when Aaron Donald retired, I was standing there looking at Latu at his pro day. And then I'm looking on Twitter and everyone's like, oh, Aaron Donald's gone, we're going to miss him, but also let's get Latu, right? So it's just made all the sense in the world to all of them. So I'm sure you made a lot of people happy with that comment there. Now let's just switch over to some other guys on that defensive front for UCLA, the Murphy twins. Obviously they're twins. I'm a twin myself. And so I could totally understand when people can see why they're similar and some other people can say, oh, I could totally tell them apart. When you look at the Murphy twins, they do everything the same. They went to, they played on every team together. It seems like they play every position together. They do interviews together when they're available for the media. So it was just so weird just to see Gabriel there at the scouting combine without his twin Grayson there. Mm-hmm. But one, just curious on your thought on just kind of them, I guess, individually. I'm not used to asking questions about them individually because one, I mean, I personally, I'm not a big, you know, tape guy, but I don't see the difference between the two. Maybe you can explain some of that to me and just what makes those guys in general so special.
Yeah, I think that there is a little bit of a difference between them. Obviously the measurables are very, very similar, and it's funny. I was at the Shrine Bowl as well, so that was the first time I got to see them kind of like walking next to each other with the helmets off, so you get to see their faces. And it's funny, like the beards are also like the same length. You could tell they both needed a little bit of a haircut, and the hair was a little bit like the same length. And it's like, you guys literally do everything together. And so it was just it was funny seeing something like that. But I do think their games are a little bit different. I think Gabriel's got a little bit faster, a little more precise, a little more effective hand usage. Like, I think that he is closer to Latu when it comes to that two-handed swipe, you know, that arm over a club rip, something like that, a spin move. I just think Gabriel's got a little bit more finesse to his game. I loved how he was able to get off blocks. When I was watching Latu, there were a handful of times where we're talking like middle of the season, we're talking like October. I'm watching Latu's tape just to kind of confirm what I saw over the summer that he was still doing this year. Who's this dude on the other side? Like, this guy is also like winning very quickly with his hands. Right. And I was asking Latu about it. And funny enough, I was like, dude, your defensive line, and I said this to Latu when I was at the Senior Bowl, your defensive line coach deserves a raise because not only you, but also like Gabriel and Grayson, like their hand usage is great. And Latu's like, he's like, all right. He's like, look, I'm not going to brag, but he's like, I was teaching them a lot of my moves. So I was like, oh, so you're the D-line coach. And he was kind of, you know, we were having some fun with it. But you see Latu's attention to detail in his hand usage in Gabriel specifically. Not that Grayson doesn't do it as well, but I think Gabriel's got a little bit more finesse to him, a little bit faster hands. And then Grayson, I think, is more of a power profile player. Now, they're very similar. When I say these things, I mean, these are like little nuances about their game, because athletically they're very similar. They're obviously built the same. Like, they have those sort of same type of measurables, same type of athleticism. But Gabriel, like I said, wins more with his hands. And Grayson, I saw more trying to get his hands up and just trying to bull rush people a lot more in his tape. Mm-hmm. He's trying to use more power. So he, to me, had the more power in his game compared to Gabriel, who had more of the finesse. So there is a little bit of a difference. It's not huge. A lot of them can do a lot of the same things, but there are little differences between those two guys. And because of that, I do have Gabriel a little bit higher on my big board because he's able to get off blocks a little bit easier with his style. But I think that Grayson's got a pretty decent floor as a rotational edge rusher as well.
Real quick, you mentioned their beards. At Pro Day, Grayson went without the beard and was clean shaven. Gabriel still had the beard. And I'm
wow.
like, what is going on here?
I don't know
if it's because Grayson was running the 40 and he was kind of taking that swimmer's approach of just going bare, right?
Zero body fat. Just zero body hair.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Just zero everything, right? So I don't know if it was some of that. We didn't get a chance to talk to him, but that was like the first question on my list. Yeah. Hopefully I'll get him on the pod here soon because I got to know. Kind of what went into that.
Yeah, you know, and I gotta say this too, like I think it's BS that Grayson didn't get invited to the combine. Yeah. I don't have any proof of this, but I think that Gabriel was a no question about it. We're inviting this guy to the combine. And like I said, I'm a little bit higher on him. I think his tape's a little bit better. So I understand that he's the guy that got the invite, but I don't think Grayson's that far behind. So I wonder if the NFL was like, they're so similar. If we invite one of these guys, we basically have the measurables and the athletic testing for both. Right. And it's like, okay, you're not wrong, but that's pretty unfair to Grayson, who then does not get to go through that experience himself. Because when I think of the combine and when I think of the draft process, like it's a lot of stuff. It's people say like it's a job interview for these guys, and it is, but it's also something that you only get to do once in your life.
Right.
Like, and there's no going back. There's no, oh, next year I'll do the combine, whatever. It's a once in a lifetime thing. And I get it. Like there's only so many invites that you have, but I always get bummed about stuff like that. And so honestly, that was my first thought when Gabriel made it and Grayson didn't. I was like, that's actually BS. I'm actually pretty pissed about that for him because he did not get that experience. So
no, for sure. Like that was something that stood out to me. I was like, okay, looking at the list and I was like, we're forgetting a name here. And I was like, what, did we just stop the line right there at Gabriel and just say like, that's where we're drawing the line from Gabriel to Grayson and everyone else. And I was like, I don't get it. I don't think anyone else really got it. But the thing is the Murphy twins are so humble about everything. They're just kind of shrug it off and just kind of be on their way about how they handle their business. So all the credit to them. Let's switch over to linebacker Darius Mouassau, another guy that, you know, kind of came into his own over here the last 2 years, transferring in to UCLA from Hawaii. Mm-hmm. He was also at the combine. What was your read on Darius and the way he's kind of produced over the last couple of years?
Yeah, so Darius was at the Shrine Bowl as well. So I got to see him up close and personal there, which was good, man, because, you know, when I watched him in person, it kind of reflected his tape, which is what you want to see. You want to confirm a lot of stuff about him. And he is a high motor player and he wants to hit. You know, it's funny. You're in these practice situations and you're not supposed to bring guys to the ground. You're not really supposed to be hitting. And you could tell that he wanted to crack the pads, man, because that's why he plays linebacker. And, you know, unfortunately for him, he kind of looks and feels like a college middle linebacker, right? I mean, you look at his measurables, he's below 6 feet. He's between 5'11 and 6 feet tall. He's only about 225 pounds when he weighed in at the combine. Both of those numbers well below the 10th percentile. I think they were fifth and seventh percentile height and weight for a middle linebacker, an off-ball linebacker at the next level. So, you know, you see on tape, sometimes he struggles to get off blocks, guys who climb to the second level, just because he's going to lose that length battle. He just doesn't have that natural strength with the weight being a little bit lower. He doesn't have that natural length to really try to swing guys or keep guys at bay and try to pull off the blocks. He's just not really able to do that as much, but he loves to stick his nose in there. He loves to go downhill. Mm-hmm. Some of his best players are when he's reading screens or reading just like running back, just like passes to the flat, like whatever it is, and just anticipating that kinds of stuff. You know, you could tell that he's played a lot of college football over the last 5 years and a lot of experience that he has. But fortunately, I just don't think he's an athlete enough to gain a starting role at the NFL level. I think he'll be one hell of a depth player and a guy who I think is always going to give his all in special teams. And you can have a long career in the NFL if that's the case. Sure. You know, sometimes you can be that depth player because you got to think about this too. When it comes to those day three draft picks, a lot of those guys are supposed to be your special team studs. Yeah, you want them to fill in, and obviously they got to play a certain position, but ultimately they're there to hone in on their special teams work and really help you in that third phase of the game. the two positions where there's a lot of opportunity for special teams play is linebacker and tight end, just because you are big enough to take on a lot of different responsibilities, yet you are an athlete enough to be able to take on a lot of responsibility. So for him, I feel like that's kind of where his career is going to start. We'll see what happens after that, but I think he's going to start as one hell of a special teams player. And then, you know, who knows? It's a violent game. Injuries happen. You climb up the depth chart. Maybe he'll get an opportunity to kind of prove himself sometime in that rookie contract.
Awesome. Real quick. So it sounds like you have Darius as a day three guy. Mm-hmm. Just want to circle back to the Murphys. Where do you have them projected? I forgot to check in with you on that.
So I like Gabriel as a third round guy. I really do. I think that he could be a back end of day two type of a player. Like I said, I love how he gets off blocks. I love the hand usage. It's already there in his tape. Grayson, I would say, is probably more of an early day three guy, you know, fourth, fifth round. With him not getting a combine invite, that kind of solidifies that he's not going to get taken before day three. And I think it'll probably be like a fifth, sixth round target for him. He might be able to go in the fourth, but I do think that Gabriel is going to get drafted at least a round ahead of where Grayson is going to get drafted.
Okay. Awesome. Sounds good. And we're going to talk some quarterbacks here and stuff real quick, but just want to mention, make sure you guys check out a lot of what Trevor's doing over at the NFL Stock Exchange podcast. He is a co-host over there, and obviously all the work that he's doing for PFF. Again, the mock draft available on PFF. Can you just kind of run down this quarterback situation? I'm familiar with Caleb Williams, obviously out here at USC. I covered Jalen Daniels here in high school. Jaden Daniels here in high school.
Oh, yeah, right.
So I got a lot of talent out here in this area. But just tell me a little bit about those two guys. Tell me about Drake May and how you see it shaking out, because I know everyone has Caleb Williams one, and then number two is just kind of up for grabs between the other two.
Yeah, so I clearly have Caleb at one. I've had Caleb at one for the entire process. I think he's a phenomenal football player. There's a lot of really good football players in this class, but I think that Caleb and his talent level and the position that he plays, he's the cream of the crop, if you will. So I'd be taking him at number one, wouldn't be thinking twice about it. My QB2 in this class is Drake May, and I'm also pretty firm on that. You know, I've watched a lot of these guys tape over the last year. Specifically, I watched a lot of them in February when we were about to put out the PFF draft guide. And I watched a lot more on these guys just to get more information and make sure that I was solidified in what I thought of these guys, right? That was around the time that the rumors were starting of Jaden Daniels. Oh, he might be QB2 in this class. Some teams have him above May. And I was like, man, I mean, I like Jaden, but okay, let's take a look at this film and see if maybe there was something that I missed with a different perspective. I came away with May easily as QB2 once again. So I've got May at QB2. I just think the arm talent's phenomenal, man. I'm not worried at all whatsoever about him making any sort of throw. And that includes over the middle of the field stuff. I think the ball is a rocket off of his wrist. He's got all the arm talent in the world. He's got some added mobility to him. Yeah, okay. Yeah, sure. Of course, it wasn't perfect this year. He kind of struggled a little bit, but I thought it was phenomenal the year before. So you can't just discount what he did the year before. And plus, this year wasn't so bad at all. He just didn't have a lot of guys to be able to throw to. So I think that May is fantastic. When it comes to Jaden, there's just so much that he did well this past year. If you're looking at just a 2023 sample size, Jaden Daniels had the best film of anybody. I don't think there's any question about that. But, you know, with Jaden, I think that he has an adequate arm for the NFL level, but I don't think it's the same level as Caleb Williams or Drake May. And I would also say it's not the same level of JJ McCarthy even. Again, I think it's adequate. I think that it could be a starter with the arm talent that he has, but he's got such clean mechanics. You don't really think about it when you watch him play, because he just maximizes his arm talent with how beautiful his footwork is. The smooth connected motion all the way from his feet to his throwing motion when he's releasing the ball. I mean, it's beautiful. It truly is. The follow through, everything, man. Jaden has really been honing in on his fundamentals, and he's one of the most fundamentally sound throwers that we have in this class. But I just think the arm talent overall is a little bit lower. Of course, I am a little bit worried about the weight, man. You're a dual threat quarterback. You're going to be taking a couple extra hits. Like, you got to be able to protect yourself. And I don't really know exactly what his play weight was, man. It feels like it's low though for the quarterback position. And then McCarthy, I have as kind of that QB4, but in that conversation with Jaden as well, because they both do things a little bit differently. The thing that I love the most, well, two things I would say about JJ McCarthy is he throws over the middle very, very well and very confidently. And that's just not something that always exists with a lot of these players. Jaden, for example, LSU's offense didn't really ask him to throw over the middle much. A lot of to the sideline stuff. It's a lot of outside the numbers, not a lot in between the numbers, especially in the intermediate area. Mm-hmm. JJ McCarthy's got a lot of experience doing that coming from Michigan's offense. And then the other thing is third down, man, third and long situations, the third and seven plus. JJ McCarthy is fantastic at it. It's basically him and Bo Nix, but I liked his numbers even better than Bo Nix's numbers, even though Bo had more first downs, because JJ had more first downs in which he was throwing the ball past the sticks, you know, right. And where Nix was kind of, I don't want to say dumping it off, but he was getting it in the hands of playmakers and kind of letting them kind of get the yards after catch to end up getting that first down. And so I'm not afraid about JJ's mentality. I think he's got a good arm as well. So that's kind of what I think about the top four quarterbacks in this class.
Now, do you think first round stops at four quarterbacks, or do we see a Michael Penix? Do we see a Bo Nix maybe slip in there at the end?
It's a million-dollar question, isn't it? I think we do get a fifth one in there. I think that we get a fifth one in there. I do not know who it's going to be. I do not know if it's going to be Nix or Penix, but I think we do get one more in there. I really do.
And obviously, there was some talk, especially during the season. I'm following a lot of the Pac-12 stuff, a lot of the Pac-12 commentary and all that's going on with that. And a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, Michael Penix, first rounder. Look at his arm. Look at everything. First round guy. And now he's kind of seems to be in that second round kind of range there. What was it maybe about him? Was it just the way things kind of ended there and during that national championship kind of picture there that kind of maybe bumped him down a tier or two?
No, I think he's got a fantastic arm, right? I've been a Michael Penix Jr. fan since the Indiana days. Like, I loved it. I remember watching that game when they almost upset Ohio State in the horseshoe. Well, I don't know how almost, but, you know, he was going to, you know, blow for blow with Ohio State in the horseshoe, and they had no business doing that. And so I remember thinking, like, okay, this kid's got a great arm. He's got great mobility. The injury history sucks with him. But honestly, I'm not even worried about the injury history that much. The thing that holds me back from saying, yes, Penix round one, let's do it. The natural accuracy, I think, is fine for him, but the true ball placement can sometimes escape him, right? Think about all those incredible acrobatic catches that Romo Odunze and Jalen Polk and Jalen McMillan have made over the last couple of years. Great catches by them. I want to give them their props for it. But there are times when it was like, all right, that throw was more difficult than it needed to be because that ball wasn't placed exactly where it needed to be from Penix. And with him having 34-inch arms and a long, unorthodox throwing motion, not always marrying that lower body with his upper body, I think a lot of coaches look at that and just go, man, is this going to just be some unorthodox gunslinger who maybe might not have the natural accuracy that we need at this level to be able to perform consistently? So I truly believe that the league is going to be all over the place with Penix. Some teams are going to believe that he is a first-round pick, and there are plenty of things in his tape to agree with that. There are going to be other teams that think he is a third, fourth-round player. And I think that there are some deficiencies in his game where maybe not like, okay, I absolutely agree with them, but it's warranted. Like, it's not like they're making it up out of nowhere. He has the biggest gap of where he could go in this draft of any of these top quarterbacks, I think.
And much like Lachu, medical is probably an issue for him as well, I would imagine, correct?
A little bit, but, you know, the early reports are, the medicals came back pretty clean, and he's had 2 years where he's been fine. As long as it's nothing chronic, like as long as they didn't check out his knee and it's like, yeah, his knee is pretty degenerative now, like he ain't going to play very much longer, or something with the shoulder when he injured the shoulder. But it doesn't seem like that's the case, because even if, you know, the reports always come out, it's like, oh, he had clean medicals. Like, okay, you don't know that for all 32 teams, because all 32 teams are kind of checking this guy out. But even if he had clean medicals for like five teams needed to be able to tweet that out, okay, those teams, I think, would have noticed if there was something seriously chronic and reoccurring with those injuries. And the fact that they weren't, maybe not every team gave him this clean evaluation, but it's probably not as bad as what people were saying to not take him in the top 50.
And real quick, we'll get you out of here on these final questions here. We talked a little bit about the Rams. We talked a little bit about Lachu maybe being an option for the Rams there. Who do you have the Rams taking, or who are some options maybe at where they're picking? And also the same for the Chargers. Obviously, the Chargers moving on from some receivers, surprise trade with Keenan Allen there. Mm-hmm. Just talk me through some of those LA teams as we kind of get you out of here.
Yeah. So I would love a defensive line addition for the Rams. I don't know exactly what they're thinking. You know, maybe they want to go one for one. Okay, Aaron Donald's out. Let's get an interior defensive lineman in. You know, Byron Murphy II from Texas. I think Johnny Newton from Illinois. Those two defensive tackles are the best of the bunch this year. And I think 19 is a nice sweet spot for both of those players. So I think they're both on the board there. And then any of those edge rushers, you know, if it's Dallas Turner, if it's Jared Verse, if it's Laiatu Latu, I think they're going to be on the board for them as well. So it feels as though the Rams, after really putting some big money into the interior offensive line and really going after interior offensive line and free agency, they'll probably turn their eyes more towards defense in the first round. And so I kind of still have them sticking with defensive line and one of those guys there. The Chargers are interesting, right? Because I think that Joe Ortiz, their new general manager, would love to trade back. And now you've got a great candidate in the Minnesota Vikings that could give you pick 11, pick 23, probably another first rounder as well to move all the way back from 5 to 11. And, you know, if you do that, you're talking about one of the top corners, Quinyon Mitchell, a Terrion Arnold, and Nate Wiggins. And then at the back end of the first round, or with pick 23, you're looking at another receiver, an A.D. Mitchell, a Brian Thomas Jr., a Troy Franklin, somebody like that. And then if you're sticking at 5, now you're talking about the big boys, right? Now you're talking about you're in Marvin Harrison Jr. range. You're in Malik Nabers range. You could go with Maromo Dunze as well. So to me, it's corner and wide receiver are the big needs that I think the Chargers are going to look at in the first round, whether they're picking at 5 or whether it's a little bit further back if they do end up trading back.
Awesome. Thank you so much for the insight, Trevor. It's very much appreciated. Make sure you guys go over to Pro Football Focus, PFF.com, or the NFL Stock Exchange podcast. Trevor, thank you so much. Hopefully we can get you back on sometime soon. Maybe we can do this again next year, because as you know, the NFL draft talk does not stop.
Yeah, I appreciate it, James. Appreciate you having me on the show. And yeah, would love to come back and chop it up with you.
Awesome. Sounds good, my man. Thank you so much.
This is the Believe in UCLA Football podcast, presented by Bet Online.